The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
When someone doesn't feel like they have the promise of God over their life, and I think there's a lot of people, because hope deferred makes the heart sick, we can really lose sight and become hopeless over the promise, because all we see is the contradiction. That's why I think it's so important, again, who you have speaking into your life, number one. Number two, what are you meditating on? And really getting the Word of God, because there's thousands of promises in the Word of God. When you actually study the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God, it actually renews your mind. And that's a principle that the Word addresses, that there is promise. It may not look or come in the timeline or package you're hoping for, but it still doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And it may look different, but there is always hope in the promise of God over your life. And so every one of us have a promise, because every one of us is a son or daughter of the King.
When we think back to all the times someone has spoken promises into our lives, it's probably fair to say that some of us are more acquainted with broken promises than we are with promises fulfilled. But when it comes to God, it's an entirely different story, because with God, there is no such thing as a broken promise. What does it mean when God speaks promises into our lives? Do we have a responsibility when God does speak a promise over us? We'll find out as we discuss promises from heaven. That's next on Sought Out Global Radio. And we welcome you back to Sought Out Global Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, along with Sought Out ministry leaders Herb and Bethany Marks and Krista Pitcairn. Welcome back.
Hello.
I love how Krista's ready to go with the hello. She knows what's coming every time. I'm excited about the topic today as we discuss promises. And I think this is a really good topic, because I think we've all been given promises, and many of us have had experiences in our lives where I think we probably are more familiar with broken promises than we are with those that are fulfilled. But when we're talking about God, God doesn't lie. He's not a man that he should lie. He doesn't break promises. When he gives us a promise, he keeps them, right? And so I think this is a great topic, and I want to throw it out to all three of you, anyone that wants to jump in. What constitutes a promise in our life today?
So for me, one of the scriptures God's given me is, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I'm sure a lot of people have had that scripture. They feel like God's given them in times when he just resonates it in your spirit, and you know it's a promise that's personal. But you're right, there's so many scriptures in the Bible that are promises. You know, there's got to be thousands.
Oh, there are. In fact, you see the heart of God bringing promises to mankind right from the very beginning of the fall in the garden. And from that point on, even Genesis and the first four books of the Bible, you see God strategizing to bring people back into restoration. And so the Pentateuch is full of God bringing promises to restore mankind, all the way to Isaiah, where Jesus stands there with the scrolls and said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, bring sight to the blind, preach to the poor good news. And right there in Isaiah, he's prophesying about, and he's saying, I'm the guy. As a kid, teenager. And then it begins. Because what God strategized as the ultimate redeemer at the beginning of the Old Testament, now we see coming on the scene in Isaiah, and then we see it performed and completed in the book of Luke, as the physician Luke reports in chapter 4, about the fact that this is the Christ who came to do this. He raised from the dead, and he has set the captives free. These promises are amazing all throughout Scripture. And when you look at them, look at the fact that there were 300 speaking of the one who would come. And Jesus is the one who fulfilled all 300 promises. And one mathematician calculated, what are the chances that Jesus could fulfill the 300 plus promises, I mean to say. And it's one with 181 zeros behind it. It's a human impossibility that our Redeemer, the ultimate Redeemer, our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, who threw the stars into the sky, will fulfill everything that he said he would. And when I look in Jeremiah chapter 1, I love this portion of it, because in the Amplified, he's training his prophet here. And then look what happens. As God was training Jeremiah, verse 12, Then said the Lord to me, "You've seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it." And the fact that Jeremiah was beginning to interpret what God was showing him, because God was training him as a prophet to see, to hear, to listen, and to lay hold of what God was saying. And then God commends him, "You're doing well." And he said, "And here is what I do. I watch over my word because I own it. I watch over to perform it. I'm active and alert to do these things that I've given to you as a promise." Wow. Can it get any better than this?
And there it is, right? That pretty much encompasses it right there. Scripture is a love letter to man, right, from God. And it is a gift. And so many promises are in there. As you said, 350 promises testifying to the coming of Jesus. And one that I always think of is Isaiah 9:6, "For unto us a child is born and a son is given," right? And that this child will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Those are promises that we can rely on. And because we know the scripture says that God is not a man that he should lie, we can take these scriptures and these promises from God to the bank, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and, yeah.
So what about the person who got a promise? They feel like they had a God promise, but it hasn't happened yet. Hmm. Or, you know, they've been standing. Now they're standing so long. Did I even hear that? Did I receive
yes.
it right? What
yeah.
about the person yeah. who's struggling with the promise?
And we all know of the story of Abraham.
Yes.
The Isaac. Father of many nations.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get to see his promise until mm-hmm. Joseph really began to bring it onto the scene.
Oh, this is a good one. Abraham was given a promise he never saw
until
after this life. Mm. But it was a promise from God.
It was a promise, and God still
yes.
fulfilled it, yes. And yes. when he speaks to us promises, sometimes we wait. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he's quick to perform them. Other times, they're down the road.
Oh, yeah. It seems like the first time I became a Christian, I remember that it just seemed like that everything was happening so fast. Every kind of revelation, every promise was being delivered very quickly. And now sometimes the Lord seems to make me wait for some of these things to happen.
There are seasons.
Krista, not to leave you out of this, what if I don't have promises that I know of personally? Where do I turn?
That's a question mark. It's
all
thanks
yours.
For including me on that one.
That's right. That's good.
No, it's okay. That's a good question. You know, when someone doesn't feel like they have the promise of God over their life, and I think there's a lot of people, because hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I feel like a lot of people, through the delay of what they believe is the promise of God, or things not happening as they believe they would, or they find themselves in a place in life where they didn't think they would be, we can really lose sight and become hopeless over the promise, because all we see is the contradiction. That's why I think it's so important, again, who you have speaking into your life, number one. Number two, what are you meditating on? And really getting the word of God, because there's thousands of promises in the word of God. And Herb talked about it in a previous show about when you actually study the word of God and meditate on the word of God, it actually renews your mind. And that's a principle that the word addresses, but that's a way that it actually happens, is the renewing of your mind, the renewing of the promise, the reminding that there is promise. It may not look or come in the timeline or package you're hoping for, but it still doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And it may look different, but there is always hope in the promise of God over your life. And so therefore, the truth of the matter is, Mark, every one of us have a promise, because every one of us is a son or daughter of the King.
So that's good, because that's exactly where I was going. It's not the truth to say I don't have any promises over my life, is it?
Right.
Good. So how should promises impact our life from a practical purpose, Herb?
How should promises impact us?
Yeah.
They take us into the kicking out of our walls of how narrow we are with our expectations, for one. Secondly, promises come to challenge us to a higher level of trust, because trust is a big deal to the Lord. Do you really trust me? You know, and how we view him so often can be influenced by the way we were raised. So how's been the authority figure in our personal lives, namely dads? And I know that the adversary takes a huge premium against discrediting a father figure in a person's life. And so that trust issues are really, really an issue. And I remember, you know, I had an amazing dad. There were some areas that he fell short in. And God says he's a father to the fatherless, and he will fill in the gaps when it comes to trusting him regarding his promises. So I think it's huge, because promises create a momentum in issues of faith. I mean, is he really a God that's going to pull through for you? Or is he one that's just giving out promises so that you can hold on forever and never see them come to pass, so that he can watch you suffer? No. In the middle of the promise giving, he comes then to teach us and train us how to posture ourselves to receive the timing and the provision of his promises. I mean, he truly watches over his word to perform it on our behalf.
One of the things I really love about prophecy is the heart of God and the identity that the Lord sees in the person who's coming, but doesn't stand necessarily before us today. In other words, prophecy is the difference between the now and the not yet. And oftentimes it's in the not yet person that we have, that we are, that God sees us becoming, that we haven't yet walked into. We haven't become that person. So it takes faith to hold on to the promise that's spoken over us that we ourselves don't even believe as much as God does, doesn't it?
Well, I think the divine delay is a huge character building in us, and the Lord uses it on purpose to sometimes withhold. Again, not because he's a mean dad. He's a father that's working in us character issues to support the weightiness of the blessing that in our youngness we would misuse. And so he knows when it's best to release it to us.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a time to pursue the promise, which is partially character. I was thinking of Tamar. I wrote it down in Genesis, where Judah had all these sons, and unfortunately they all died, and he was afraid to give his last son to the Tamar, who was the wife of all these men, because he was afraid he was going to lose all his boys. Like, this is a curse. But he had promised that he would give her a husband, and Tamar waited. Now, maybe her character was developed, but she waited and she waited, and then she had to pursue the promise, where Judah, as a father figure, he was a stepfather to her, did not come through. He was negligent. He was not valuing her, and she said, "No, this is my future. This is my destiny. This is my identity. Is I need you to fulfill this promise," to the point where, blow the box Bible, she dresses in, you know, the as a prostitute, pretty much pins this on her stepfather, and he doesn't even know it's her. Read it in Genesis, and comes back around to when she is pregnant by her stepfather. He says, you know, you're in trouble, you've done it all wrong, and she produces the evidence. Read it in the Bible. It's an awesome story. This woman pursued her promise, and she's part of the story in the Bible we all love. You know, this is a woman who went for it. She was like, I'm not going to settle for not getting my promise. I'm pursuing this thing. I'm making this thing happen. And she was admired for it, even though she did it in a way that we would all go, oh, you know, today, right?
Yeah, that is so good. You know, I think that's really a good way to put this whole topic into a nice wrapper, which is pursuing the promises of God.
Absolutely.
Yep. And I think that's what we need to continue to do. As we go into the next segment, we'll continue to pursue the topic of the promises of God. That's coming up next right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
And I will not forget the cross, pain that you endured for us, where you carried brokenness and shame.
Isaiah 62:12 says, "And they will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought out." Millions of people all over the world are drawn into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ every day, but many of us have not had the spiritual mentoring needed to grow in the gifts of the Spirit. That's where Sought Out Global Ministries comes in. Sought Out Global Ministries was founded to attract the presence of God and to assist Christians with a deeper understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. Our goal is not to be a church. Our goal is to be a place where people from every walk of life can come and have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, to link arms for the coming revival in the kingdom of God. So if you're restless and hungry for more and would like to join us for one of our home encounters or larger gatherings, please go to our website at soughtoutglobal.com today. That's soughtoutglobal.com, calling you to greatness.
We welcome you back to Sought Out Global Radio, and we've been discussing the topic of promises. And Bethany, right before we went to the break, you put it in such a great way about pursuing the promises of God, and I think that's such a profound way to see it. When we think about promises and prophecy, why are they so closely tied to one another?
I think what I love about the prophetic is it calls out what we don't see in the natural, and it often calls to life things that are dormant, things that we're unaware of, maybe even the quiet whispers of our heart that we've hoped for, and then it comes out and it's confirmed that that's true. And I think it brings those things and makes them more than just, you know, dreams in the sense of our imagination or things that we've created, but they are actually the promise of God coming through His Spirit and His Word being spoken over our life. It unleashes a momentum, in a sense, of faith and a momentum of partnership. I mean, to me, when the prophetic comes at me, I get a prophetic word. There's a mixture of faith that it comes with. There's an invitation to believe it, walk with it, and put legs to it, pray into it, and walk it out. And so to me, the prophetic is so essential in releasing the promises, because how many times have I prophesied over someone and how many times have they said to me, well, I've always felt that, but I didn't know if it was real or it was just me. And then God comes alongside and confirms it. And what has just been a quiet hope has now become a God promise. So that's exciting. I love that.
It is. And so when you say it lays dormant, it isn't necessarily that it's been there all the time either, is it?
You know, I think you can talk that out a few ways. When I say dormant, I mean, I believe that we're created with destiny and purpose within us that God has put in us to walk out. Dormant meaning sometimes it takes years for us to discover what's actually within us.
Herb, I had a promise and I lost faith. I gave it up. What do you say to that person today?
Come back. Try again.
Good.
And believe me, this is not a performance issue if you're doing well enough. I'm thinking, you know, if you've given it up, it's because you haven't had opportunity to see it for what it is. And I mean the principle of the promise. The subject of the promise is oftentimes emotional for people who back off of it, because they're really not convinced that God would find favor with them, that somehow it's easier to pull back than to be disappointed. And what's happening here is that the insecurities that need the healing touch of the Lord have now surfaced to push against the promise. And sometimes the Lord will allow a promise to come, knowing that we have insecurities, areas that need to grow in faith. But there's a third one, the adversary, who is the accuser of the brethren. He comes to try to disqualify the promise. And he will come in places where there are cracks or crevices, dark places, having to do even with our family origin, if there's anything in our lineage that has sin, if there's, and I've worked with people who have had two or three generations back where there was something horrific that happened in the family, and somehow in the trauma, the adversary got a foothold and began to wreak havoc on several generations. And we went back by the authority of the and the lead of the Holy Spirit, where he told us how to address it. And in that place of addressing it, we're able to block it, and we watch the family come into health again, because that was a major source of damage. Mm. Because the adversary is so cruel, and he never has a good day. He never has a day off. He is always looking for ways to damage people, and thereby doing warfare against God, who loves his people. And the beauty of this thing is, not that what happens to people when they get damaged is beauty, I'm saying that what Jesus has come to do, for greater is he that is in us, he's in the world, he's trained our hands for war, and he's causing us to stand against that which would steal the promises of God and people. Because truly the Lord, in his time, will rise up the promise if we'll not shrink back and if we'll hold on to what he is saying, because he is a good God.
Yes.
And he loves us.
Okay, one quick question in just a minute or so. I'll throw it out to the table for all three of you to try to answer if you can. But it's this idea that maybe someone has had a promise, but now they feel like it didn't happen. I thought I had a promise that someone would be healed that was close to me, and they went to be go home with the Lord. Did I actually have a promise, or
oh, boy.
In the first place?
Hmm.
Wow. And that's a very, very real one, because we have some knowledge of a friend that has gone home to be with the Lord just in the last week or so. And people were standing for her healing.
Yes.
That's a hard one, because I don't always have the answer with that one. You know, I know a lot of times we stand firm because Jesus went to the cross for the sake of our healing. And we'll cover that maybe on another broadcast, just some of the promises about healing. But the fact is that sometimes the promises don't come through in the way that we think that they should or that we thought that they would. And I look forward to sharing a personal example of that with a dear friend of mine. I had a promise, and the Lord instead allowed him to come home. And I'm thinking, what happened to that? And the Lord did help me with it. I did get an answer. The bottom line is, do we trust him when things don't work out the way that we think that they should? And will we stay by his side in the fact that he chooses not to give us the answer immediately? There is a danger here, because the scripture is so full of promises that we can go in there and feel like we can choose freely, like going to Costco and pulling it off the shelf. We need to be a people that are inquiring of the Lord and allowing him to give to us at his choosing the promises that then we are to believe him for. I think that in a point of need, we go to the Bible and we go, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And even though the promises are there for anybody, is the Lord bringing this to us? I mean, let the author, the one who leads and guides us, we can't be people who are presumptuously just reaching. I think we'll find that the Lord doesn't hand out promises as quickly as people reach for them. And we need to allow him to lead us into his bounty and his choices of what he would have us stand for, so that he can then help us in the standing. And we need to be a people that are learning how to listen and receive. That really brings pleasure to our Father in heaven, doesn't it?
Thanks, Herb. We hope you enjoyed the teaching on the promises of God. Just some tremendous advice on the importance of following the voice of God with the promises in our lives, but not to force it by claiming something that was not given. Also, if you missed out on our previous program on the Four Harbor Lights of God, a message specifically about the four keys to authenticating when we hear the voice of the Lord, be sure to go to our website, sawdotglobal.com. Herb has prepared a message that goes into great detail on the Harbor Lights, and we invite you to listen into that, as well as our previous broadcasts, which can be found on our website. Looking ahead at our calendar, our next two larger gatherings will be held in Everett, the first September 27th at Comcast Arena, and then also on October 18th, please join us at New Life Center, as we'll be hosting a regional encounter meeting featuring powerful worship and prophetic ministry. For more information on either event, please go to sawdotglobal.com. Hey, very quickly, we hope you'll prayerfully consider supporting Sought Out Global Radio with your prayers and financial support. Sought Out Global Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and we can only come to you by the blessing and generosity of our listeners. To write us, our address is P.O. Box 1733, Mukilteo, Washington, 98275. Sought Out Global Radio also accepts online donations. Just go to our website at sawdotglobal.com. Well, that's all the time we have left. On behalf of Herb and Bethany Marks, Krista Pitcairn, I'm Mark Grote. Be sure to join us again next week right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at sawdotglobal.com.